Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We're asking the question today, who controls the storms? Who controls the storms? Who's in control of Ian that is now approaching the Gulf Coast of the state of Florida? Who's in control of that? Who will be in control of the storm as it goes over the whole peninsula called the state of Florida? Who's in control? Who brought it about? Ladies and gentlemen, we've looked at headline after headline after headline as a introductory monologue in talking about the storm. I go back to one that says 2.5 million Floridians ordered to evacuate Hurricane Ian barrels closer to the state. Another one says Hurricane Ian may spike food prices. Another one says Hurricane Ian to make landfall earlier than expected. 2.5 million people to evacuate Florida. 155 mile an hour winds as Ian approaches as a Category 5 monster storm. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of fear and consternation, adulation and concern in relationship to this storm. But I want us to understand God created it all. God is on the throne. God is still in control. And there's nothing that's lost his control in relationship to this storm. And I bring your attention, call your attention to, ladies and gentlemen, a storm, one of the storms that's found in the scripture in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 through 41. I'm going to read that carefully. Then we're going to look at what I would call the answer to the consternation, the problem with concern, worry, and anxiety as you and I face this storm in the state of Florida. These words should be a challenge. These words should be a comfort. These words should be an encouragement to every listener today. And may I remind you, the Word of God says in Mark 4, verse 35 and following, "And the same day when the evening was come, he," that's speaking of Jesus, "saith unto them," that's his disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him," speaking of Jesus, "even as he was, into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships," the scripture says. Verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he," speaking of Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he," speaking of Jesus, "said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, that's the two questions Jesus answered. We'll look at those in a moment. Verse 41, we're looking in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41. Verse 41 says, "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the one that controls the storms. And I think we can ask the question, have you ever been afraid? Yes. Have you ever worried about something that's taking place, the unknown, some unknown outcome, the weather, the storms, the hurricane, accidents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We worry, we wonder, and we're frightened and we're afraid for the most part. But I want us to notice, ladies and gentlemen, the place in this text. Jesus, the scripture says, and the same day, goes back to chapter 4, verse 1, and the same day, even as he was come, he saith unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the peril that is seen, but I want us to recognize, number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that invited the disciples to get on the ship and to go out into the sea. Hear me. The Lord Jesus is God, and he is. And if he's God, he is. If he is God, he is sovereign. If he is sovereign, he is all-knowing, and there's nothing that takes him by surprise. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. If Jesus Christ took his disciples on board the ship, put them in the midst of the sea, he placed them in a position of being in danger, then what was the purpose? What's the motivation? Was Jesus not aware that a storm's coming? Was Jesus not aware that there was a great wind blowing? Was Jesus not aware that the potential was for the ship to sink? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is all-knowing. And Jesus taught the parable of the seed, the sower, etc. And he taught them, ladies and gentlemen, that our light is to shine and not be hidden. He taught us that we're to hear the word and obey the word, heed the word, ladies and gentlemen. But in this case, here is Jesus Christ, the creator, controller, the master of the sea. He is the one that created it all. He's the one that controls it all. And he's the one, ladies and gentlemen, that's on board the ship with his disciples. I've taught this text many, many times, and as I do, I point out that regardless of the storm that you're in, regardless of the hurricane that you're in, regardless of the plight, the problems, and the fear that you may be faced today, the Lord Jesus Christ is closer than our next breath. The Lord Jesus Christ is present. The scripture says in that 36th verse, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, that is Jesus, even as he was, into the ship. And there also was with him other little ships. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that Jesus Christ left the shore that was safe, as that we would call it today. He was on the boat with his disciples. There's a test that he wants to put his disciples in. Listen carefully. In the midst of the storm, Jesus Christ is testing the faith and the faithfulness of his disciples. And may I suggest to you today that many times you or I, we, may I say, are placed in a position where God is testing our faith to determine our faithfulness and our commitment to him. He's testing our faith. The scripture says in this text that it was Jesus that placed them in the ship. It was Jesus that wanted them to go with him. So we have to ask the question, was Jesus impotent? Was he God? Was he not omniscient, all-knowing? Or was it the fact that he had a plan for them? Notice in that 37th verse, and there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Did Jesus know the storm was coming? Did Jesus know that this was going to occur? Was Jesus aware of these future events when he asked his disciples to get on board and to push out into the sea? The answer is unequivocally yes. Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh. He knew the storms were present. He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, that's the very pivotal point that I want us to understand today. It is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, God on the throne today, that's in control of the storm that's facing the state of Florida. He, in this text, in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 through 41, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in control. He has a plan to teach his disciples to trust him, to faith him, to have confidence in him, and not to fear. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. You doing all right?
Doing well. I pray that you're staying dry and safe.
I'm trying to stay dry, but work ain't going to let me stay completely dry. It just is what it is.
Yes, it is.
Good verse there. I'd like to point out that a lot of those gentlemen that were on that boat with him were experienced fishermen that knew the local topography of the seas and the regions. So for them to be afraid and be tossed about, it must have been a very mighty storm indeed.
It was a Hurricane Ian.
Yeah, so that, and I'd like to also point out that as far as your global warming thing, a lot of these Democrats, they use every opportunity of chaos to sow fear. And they're just salivating at the toll that this storm will bring to accomplish their ends. But what they don't realize is even they and all of their talking head moments there are nothing more than an instrument for God's bidding anyway. Mm-hmm. You know,
we recognize the sovereignty of God. We also need to include in that the volitional choice of man. We make choices, we make decisions, but it does not displace, dethrone, or remove God from his sovereign position of being in total control.
No, it's all part of his plan.
Yep.
I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, these people that are going to use this storm to advance their agenda, which is a false agenda anyway, and stir up fear, they're not doing it out of love for God or the Lord. They're acting on behalf of the liar himself,
of the system, and the super liar that has taken over the Oval Office. Jim, when we think about what's happening in this text, I notice the scripture says, "And there arose a great storm." It speaks, that word there speaks of the suddenness of the storm. Picture, and I want our listeners to understand also, Jesus gets his disciples on the boat. They shove out into the sea, and immediately there is a great storm. All of a sudden, unexpected, without warning, there arose, the scripture says, a great storm. And as you study the text, Jim, one of the things that's intriguing to me, the Sea of Galilee that they're on is somewhere between 8 and 10 miles wide, somewhere between 80 and 160 feet deep, and situated about 2,650 feet below the mountains, mountaintops around them. And the surface could be smooth at one moment, smooth as glass, and the next moment it could be stormy. It could have that sudden gust of wind, and that swoops down over the mountainside, and the drafts then would be hitting the seafaring instruments of the seafaring ships, if you will, could hit them very hard. And life is just that way. Things like this happen suddenly.
Yes,
now with the storm, Hurricane Ian, we've known for several days it's coming. We didn't know exactly where, the exact track, or the exact pathway, but it's upon us. And the thing that I want our listeners to understand, Jim, and you're right on target with what you're saying about the text, God is in control. It hasn't taken him by surprise, just as we're seeing this text where Jesus is on board, he puts his disciples on board, but he has an ultimate plan of teaching the disciples a lesson called faith, faithing him, trusting in him. And, Jim, I believe that's what God is doing today in the state of Florida. Floridians, I believe God is teaching us all to faith him, to trust him, and depend upon him. Jim, thank you so much for your input, touching base that we might have a little further, if you please, expertise on what we're talking about that would be beneficial to our listeners. Thank you so much. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question today, who controls the storms? Who controls the storms? When we analyze the biblical record, when we look at the text, and we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41, we see the suddenness of this storm, ladies and gentlemen. We see in the storm here the seriousness. A great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Ladies and gentlemen, the picture is that we see here, the image that God gives us in this text, in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verse 35 through 41, the image is that they're out on the sea. They're invited to go by the Lord Jesus. They're wanted to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and continue the ministry. But as soon as they push off into the sea, they get to the midst of the sea. just as far one way as it is the other. And in the midst of the sea, the sudden storm comes up. It's very serious. In fact, according to the scripture, as I read the text and understand it, the water's coming on board perhaps more rapidly than they can bail it out. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, it says, so that it was now full. That is, it's getting very, very serious. The great storm of wind, we see the wind blowing, the waves beating upon the sides of the ship. We see the wind brimming, water brimming, coming up into the ship so that it's now full. That is, the ship is taking on water, so much so that the ship is ready to sink. That's what we see. That's the image. That's the picture. So why did Jesus put them in the boat? They're about to exercise faith, experience the need for faith. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's yesterday, today, or tomorrow, if it's in this storm or another, if it's in a difficulty in life, whether it's me or whether it's you, God is placing us many times in a position that is checking out our faith. We say we love him and we're going to serve him by faith. Do we? And I'm asking that question legitimately for me and for you. Do we truly trust God? Are we faithing him even in the midst of the storm? They were about to experience that test. This is what happens, I believe, as God tests our faith so often. The winds and the trials, the winds and the waves hit our lives. Difficulties come day after day and moment after moment. And sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes it looks like our ship's going to sink. You ever been there? You ever done that? Love to hear from you. What's your position on this? Is this a challenge to you? Are you faithing God now? Are you fearing what is taking place? Sometimes it is a time of fear that we might put our faith in God, realizing our helplessness and our hopelessness outside of the umbrella of the will of God in our lives. Perhaps no job, perhaps having major things facing you today, including this hurricane, there's a need to place our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But I want us to notice, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we see the problem of the storm in verse 35, 36, and 37, but notice the panic of the sailors that's found in verse 38. The problem says, and he, that's Jesus, listen, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now here's the picture. Here are Jesus' disciples. They've watched Jesus perform miracle after miracle. They've worked with Jesus. They've witnessed with Jesus. They have ministered with Jesus. They have seen his signs, miracles, and wonders. They have Jesus Christ on board in the ship. Hear me. Jesus is not abdicated. Jesus has not removed himself from his sovereign position of authority today. Can you imagine? Just when we need Jesus, he's asleep. Do you think that sometimes? Most of us have, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we're in the midst of a problem, we're in the midst of a storm, and not realizing, not recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ is on board with us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Jesus Christ is present, closer than our next breath. So, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we see in this text is that Jesus is on board. He's sound asleep. He's not trying to row the ship. He's not trying to bail water. He's not trying to give a voice of panic. Does this mean that somehow, some way, because Jesus is asleep on the ship, did he not care? Was he asleep that he was impotent and could do nothing? That's not so at all. He knows the situation. He is in full control and full charge. Even though he, in his physicality, is asleep, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and God has never lost control. Notice in verse 38, we're looking at Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. Verse 38, the latter portion says, and they, speaking of the disciples, awake him, speaking of Jesus, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That word means to die. He said, they're saying, Lord, aren't you concerned about us? Aren't you afraid? Aren't you concerned that we're about to die? Aren't you? Why can you sleep, Jesus, when you know that we are about to drown? Jesus promised them that they were going to go to the other side. Remember in verse 35, he promised them that they were going to the other side. So in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the boat, and a hurricane comes, if you will, and they're concerned, aren't you concerned that we might die? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus 30 said, we're going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives today, he's with us every step of the way. Sometimes it seems as though we're not going to be able to get to the other shore. Sometimes it may seem that we're not going to be able to see the light of day. Sometimes it may appear that we're not going to take another step in front of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is present. We see his presence here. He is present with them. So what is there to fear if Jesus Christ is there? They had witnessed his miracles. They had seen his signs. They had seen his power demonstrated. They should have had complete confidence that Jesus Christ can handle the situation. But because he's asleep in his physicality, they had forgotten who he was. They had forgotten. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's only Jesus that can bring about peace. Notice in verse 39 through 41, notice his power cited. And he, that is Jesus, arose. They rushed in, flung the stateroom door open, if you will. Jesus has his head on a soft pillow. He's sound asleep in his physicality. And they awakened him, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus himself is in control. He is in control of the winds and the waves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that controls the destiny of the winds and the waves. It is the Lord Jesus Christ here in this text that spoke to the wind. He rebuked it. That is, he confronted the winds and the waves. He charges the wind and the waves. Peace, be still, is what Jesus said. That is, be muzzled, if you look at the Greek text on it. Be muzzled. So, ladies and gentlemen, whatever confronts us today, and we're talking about the storm, Jesus has the power over it. Jesus is the one that's in control of the winds and the waves. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that can deliver us from the storm. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in control as we face with the potential of fear things that are before us, things that are going to take place today, tomorrow, the next day, that perhaps we didn't experience before, haven't experienced before, or we didn't understand, or we did not see coming. But ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says when Jesus said, peace, be still, the scripture says the wind ceased and there was great calm. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, whatever confronts us, Jesus Christ is in control. He can handle it. Jesus can give us calm and peace and quiet in the midst of the storm. But I want you to notice in verse 40, we're in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verse 35 through verse 41. Verse 40, Jesus asked them a question, and he, that is Jesus, said unto them, speaking to his disciples, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus speaks to his disciples, says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus asked two questions. Why are you so fearful, and how is it that you have little faith? He didn't say little faith. He said no faith. Jesus viewed his disciples' fear as having no faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture says God's not given us a spirit of fear. But ladies and gentlemen, when things confront us that's beyond the natural, beyond the human comprehension, as the storm that is facing us now, we have a propensity to fear. Remember, these disciples have watched Jesus exercise his power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to walk on water, to cast out demons. But this was with others that they had seen. Now it's personal. Now it's happening to them individually. May I say to you, we need to be encouraged and have faith in the realization and the recognition that Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus says to them, why are you so fearful? May I ask that today? Are you fearful for what's before us? It's only natural from the human standpoint. But Jesus says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. There's an old song that comes to mind, and I'm not about to break out and sing. I can't do it if I try. There's an old song that says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over last tempestuous sea, unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoals. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. May I say to you, that's a song that can make a good prayer for us today. But notice in that 41st verse, and they feared exceedingly, speaking of the disciples, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Ladies and gentlemen, they were fearful, but not in the same fear as from the wind and the waves. This word, they were exceedingly fearful. They had great amazement. They were literally terrified, but in the midst of the being terrified, they were in awe. They were awe, A-W-E, awe-stricken at the power of Jesus Christ. They confessed faith in him and all of his power. Notice in that 41st verse, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, talking about the God-man, Jesus Christ, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Before they were in coward fear. Before then, they were worrying if they're going to die. Before then, they were wondering, what are we going to do? The ship's going to sink. We're going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, someone said on one occasion, if we never had a problem, we would never know that he could solve them. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God, as an old song says. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a verse that I'd like to wrap up with as we close the broadcast today. Let me remind you that here in the midst of the sea, in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 through 41, Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. Jesus Christ gets the disciple on board the boat. Jesus Christ is in control of the winds and the waves. Jesus Christ is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, and all-powerful. He is in control of the winds and the waves, but he put his disciples on the boat for an express purpose, and that was to teach them to faith him, to place their faith and trust in him and not in self. In the scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful, that is anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he, that's speaking of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, tereo, encircle your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have peace and comfort, hope and encouragement even today. In the midst of the storm, we need to place our faith and trust in him. The disciples believed him, trusted him when they saw Jesus working in others' lives. But when it came down to their own personal position, when in the midst of the storm, in the midst of Ian hurricane, let me say, in the midst of the storm, they were frightful, they were fearful, they were anxious, they were amazed at what was taking place. They thought, surely we're going to die. They called on Jesus. Jesus stood, looked over the winds and the waves, and simply said, peace, be still. And then at the conclusion of the text, in verse 41, these disciples were witnesses for Jesus Christ about his power, his control, and when he challenged their faith, they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. May I say today, the only hope, the only help that we can have is placing our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ to see us through the storm, to guide us through the storm, to give us faith and not fear as we enter the storm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.